Now is the time to pass our blueprint for our prosperity and help move Wisconsin forward. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the great state of Wisconsin.
Governor Scott Walker will give his fifth State of the State message. Thanks to the cooperation of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Wisconsin I is sitting outside the Supreme Court chamber, and we're covering the State of the State message in a slightly different way. I've asked two former legislators who served a total of 65 years, and 52 of them in the State Senate, and who recently left office, to talk about the State of the State, and we're going to do a preview, and then we'll come around with a reaction after we actually hear the speech. Former State Senator Bob Jauch of Poplar.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And former State Senator Dale Schultz.
Delighted to be here.
Let's preview the State of the State. Let's talk about it as a tradition. Now, here's my question. Is it a time for governors to vision cast, or do they give a report card? You gentlemen have heard dozens of them. So some memories and a preview?
I think it's celebratory. The idea is for us to remember we're all in this wonderful state together. We are or should be united in making it a better state. It's a chance to look back, take stock, and yes, do a little vision casting.
Bob?
I absolutely agree. I used to really look forward to State of the States because it was a unifying experience. It gave Wisconsinites a stronger sense of their own identity. It gave an opportunity to identify real success stories in Wisconsin, because the greatness of the state doesn't start in this Capitol building, doesn't occur in this Capitol building. It occurs in the 72 counties and small businesses and public employees who plow our roads and teachers and faculty. And it's telling the story of how you recognize this great story that makes this a great state. And I used to really love them because it is a mixture of policy, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that every governor wants to tell their story and legacy. Tommy Thompson's last State of the State address had 52 policy items that he had successfully completed, thereby certainly contradicting the notion he was Dr. No. But we all applauded him and cheered him and felt the success. So I think it should be an uplifting experience, one in which we all feel better for the state we live in.
Well, one of the reasons I was so glad both you gentlemen agreed to come in and preview it, and we'll do the react later, is you're both former leaders of your party in the Senate. Right. Did you look at State of the State messages as governors telegraphing what comes next in the budget message? Did you look for major hints of policy changes, gentlemen?
Not only in the budget, but in their legislative agenda. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the perfect opportunity for a governor to take center stage with all eyes on him and sort of cast the world in the way they would like it to be, and to talk about their role in making it so. If it's done well, everyone will applaud, the public will feel good, and the agenda will be largely set for the implementation of the policy. If it's not done so well, anything can happen.
It's really a case where I've read a number of State of the State addresses from other governors around the country. I think you'll see the same theme here. Things are better today than they were in 2011. Of course, we had a global recession. We had loss of jobs that had nothing to do with partisan politics, but that terrible recession that cost manufacturing jobs around the country. There's a rebirth of our economy. Everybody is benefiting. Every state is saying it, but the governor has the podium. The governor's going to take credit for the good news, and then blame Washington for the bad news, I suppose.
Well, as former leaders of your party, when the governor was a member of your party, could you plant seeds or ideas for State of the State speeches? Or was that kind of off limits?
No, I think there's always been an opportunity for legislators, particularly leaders, to have some input into what would be a good sales presentation. but by and large, it's the show of the East Wing. But what's going to be unique about this address tonight is we might get a little hint about a presidential campaign and some themes that we might see there in the future. Will we be moving to the far right in the Republican Party, competing with the Ted Cruz's and Marco Rubio's of the world, or will we be competing with the Jeb Bush's and Governor Christie's of the world? So there'll be a lot to watch tonight.
So you're kind of hinting that it could be it could have state of the nation type
overtones,
statements in it.
Yes, overtones, yes, notes.
Bob, you were going to say?
I don't think there are very many people in Wisconsin who are aware of politics that don't believe that Scott Walker is going to become a candidate for president, whether he does or not. Right. They believe he's going to. Therefore, everything he says tonight is going to be viewed in that lens of what is the message he is portraying, not necessarily just for Wisconsin. I think it will be primarily directed at Wisconsin. But in what ways is he presenting ideas that seem to have great appeal to those individuals who vote in presidential primaries? Can't avoid it. It's going to be the way people look at it.
Well, one of the things that I think is interesting in Wisconsin, the state is so polarized, you can't hardly talk to anybody who doesn't have a strong opinion about the governor, either love him or hate him. Nationally, he's an unknown person for the most part. So he has an opportunity to sort of recast himself at the start of this campaign. So it's going to be interesting.
Right.
Will he double down on the image he has in Wisconsin, or will he try to do something different in order to pick up another audience nationally?
On November 4, when he was reelected, in his speech he said, "Those of you, the 47% who didn't vote for me, I want to try to earn your trust." Do you think he will sound offer an olive branch to those in the state of the state? Is the state of the state the right format to do that, guys?
Absolutely.
Well, it really is. The real question for this governor is, will it be generic or will it be the real thing? Will he offer tangible ways in which he is going to reach out to the diversity of Wisconsin? Because, frankly, for the last 4 years, he has led with the notion that his ideas are strong and he only needed to work with the Republican majorities. And the compromise was not much of the process here. So I think if he comes out tonight and does more than say, we need to work together, this isn't a red, white, and blue and red state, red, white, and blue state, he's got to do more than that. He's got to show how he's going to empower the voices of the minority members, because they represent a strong constituency in this state. This is their state, too. It's not just the majority party.
I think
state.
Bob makes an excellent point about being real. One of the things that will certainly come out of tonight's speech is sort of the state of Wisconsin versus other states in the Midwest and nationally. We all saw the governor's plan to create 250,000 jobs blow up on him in the last 4 years. And as somebody who thought that could be done and supported him in that regard, I was disappointed, but I do understand the political pitfall. How will the governor compare Wisconsin to the neighboring states and the rest of the nation?
Yeah.
I think that's something else that we can look for.
I know both of you went back and went through some state of the states to get ready for this. And I want to contrast what the governor said in his first state of the state on February 1, 2011. Just read a couple sentences. "In the coming weeks, I will introduce a budget repair bill focusing on the most immediate fiscal challenges our state must address to avoid massive layoffs or reductions in critical state services. Our budget repair bill will lay the foundation for a structurally sound budget that doesn't rely on short-term fixes and other stopgap measures that only delay the pain and create perilous uncertainty." That's what he said on February 1, 2011,
sure.
And that led to the Act 10 controversy, and let's not rehash that. But then
a
year ago, in the 2014, here's three sentences, "Since 2011, we have reduced the burden on the hardworking taxpayers in Wisconsin by $1.5 billion. We dropped the number of tax brackets and cut tax rates for everyone who pays income taxes in our state. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we passed $100 million worth of property tax relief this past fall. Mm-hmm. For the third year in a row, property taxes actually went down on a median valued home in Wisconsin." Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your patience. So here's my question.
In 2011, he was saying, hey, a very tough budget is going to come. But in 2014, he was saying that was kind of a victory lap. Now that he's been reelected, what theme is he going to strike in the speech that we're soon going to hear?
I think he's going to compare to remind us of 2011. He's going to restate property tax relief. He's going to restate a stable budget. What he's not going to state is $1 billion transportation deficit. He's not going to state $1.5 billion structural deficit. He's not going to state the challenges he's going to have with a budget deficit. And these are all created by decisions they made to lower taxes. So we're going to hear a lot of rhetoric and rehash of what it's good. One thing he's going to say in property taxes is that he's lowered property taxes. He is not going to tell you that in the last 4 years, property taxpayers, 25% of the school districts in this state have adopted referendums to raise their own taxes because the governor's cuts abandoned public education. And so there's another side to the story very clearly that will be played out over the next few months.
Well, I think the one thing he won't be able to do is the $2.2 billion deficit we have isn't the fault of the guy who was in the last term. Because he was there with a Republican majority, and Bob is correct. The problem we have now is largely a result of rosy scenario, those rose-colored glasses, and believing that money would continue to fall from the trees. And that isn't the case, and it makes me feel good today knowing that I voted against that last tax cut, recognizing it would put us in this situation. So I think what he's going to have to do is explain very clearly that his budget is going to deal with that.
In Wisconsin Nye's year-end interview with Governor Walker, he said it's not $2.2 billion, Dale. He said it's about $800 million. But here's my point. We need $760 million more to pay our MA bills.
Yes.
Secretary Gottlieb of Transportation wants $550 from the general fund, and the regents want $95 million more. This is a tough budget, and I've noticed Speaker Voss, who we may hear from later, and Governor Walker and Assistant Majority Leader and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald have backed off the idea of a major tax cut coming in the next budget, which the governor will unveil on February 3rd. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's welcoming that they're finally backing off for tax cuts that destabilize our basic budget. Argue right or wrong what Minnesota did to balance their budget, they're dealing with a $1 billion surplus. They're going to reinvest 50% of their money into 4K education and improving their educational system, and probably provide some tax cuts too, compared to Wisconsin. The fact of the matter is that there is a serious budget deficit, which is going to mean that you're not going to have the dollars for school aids, and public education is going to once again suffer. Higher education cannot go the next 2 years in this state without seeing some additional revenues. There are smaller campuses that don't have any reserve.
And I'd like to pick up on that. I think the problem is a good deal larger than $800 million. But rather than to argue about whether $3.6 million compares to the $2.2 that we have now,
okay,
I think it's going to be a real challenge. And I think what is concerning to me and a lot of other people that I talk to is government in Wisconsin is getting hollowed out, and there's probably no better example of that than, as Bob just pointed out, the University of Wisconsin. If you've been listening to the president lately, he has been pleading for the legislature and for state government to stop comparing the university to other state agencies. It's more than that. It's a growth engine, and if we keep going down this path of taking money away from the university, it's like eating your seed corn, and it's going to have profound consequences down the road. So I'm really hoping that we're going to see a substantial reinvestment in the university in the next 2 years. Yeah. How that'll happen, I'm not sure.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how he addresses higher education in this state. He will talk about job training. Clearly, a lot of that's going to come from vocational education. But it's higher, it's your university system, which has been a model for the nation for years, that's producing the engineers and others, who the healthcare workers and the physicians and others who are a vital part of our economy and way of life. And if he says that we need higher education to improve, then I think we need to see how he is going to specifically say, and we're going to invest in them to make sure that our higher education system can do the job in helping Wisconsin grow.
Which is one of the themes that he telegraphed when he was sworn in for a second term. Guys, you may have not have seen the speech, but he said it's time to reorganize state government. We have to have a school accountability bill, controlling property taxes. We have to invest in worker training, which you just said, which is this marriage between the tech colleges and the balancing act between investing in tech colleges and the 26 UW system campuses. And he also said that we have to invest in our transportation system.
The problem is that we haven't seen a lot of specifics, and that's what makes tonight interesting, is we're going to begin to see some hints, and then, of course, we'll see it fleshed out in a budget address. But here's an interesting historical note, Steve. It was President Abraham Lincoln who signed the legislation for the land-grant universities in this country, which have played such a huge role in the development of this country. They were put in place to help create jobs. Science, agriculture, engineering, and military science. That was the purpose of them. And of course, that was followed up in a very few short years with legislation for university extension. We simply have to be real. We can talk about the fact we love the university, but if there isn't any money there, you're going to begin to see an erosion of a great institution in a frighteningly fast period of time, in my opinion. And this is a real challenge, and Bob is right. This is the time when we're going to see how real people are.
And Steve, let me talk further about the job training. It is estimated around the country, and I think Wisconsin would be no exception, that approximately 60 to 70% of high school graduates are going to need post-high school training to meet the skill set in this new economy, a new and different economy.
And that doesn't mean they have to go to a four-year UW system
that
campus.
It doesn't mean a four-year campus, but we can't ignore the fact that if you talk about the American dream, four-year campuses have produced skilled professionals who lead the nation, make good salaries, make a lot more than somebody with a vocational education. But what the point I think is important is, to what degree will he invest in K-12 education, particularly in high school, to create a school-to-work program? Because you want to begin training these students when they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors, just as they have done for years in Europe, to be able to be better prepared to work into the workforce. Doesn't do that, then you're not going to have enough money to do vocational education training. I mean, very clearly, there is, 4 years ago when the emphasis was on tax cuts, it should have been on job training. Companies weren't seeking tax cuts, they were seeking welders and machinists, and you had waiting lists at the vocational system. So the more they put into vocational training, K-12 education, and the university system, the stronger we will be as a state.
Let's focus for a little bit on the individual, the governor, who will be giving his fifth state of the state. Now, he's got a pretty impressive and historical political resume, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Sure.
Elected three times in 4 years, the first governor in the American history to survive a recall election, and he keeps winning with 52.7%. So you may disagree with his policies, guys.
People
but
have been underestimating Scott Walker from the beginning. And in front of a television camera, he's as good as they get. He is a real factor, I think, in this upcoming presidential election. And again, to get back to tonight, it's why being here tonight is the best seat in the state.
Well, and I've always said he's He's got the look of an altar boy. He's got a nice smile, and he's got a soft-spoken, but Darth Vader writes his policies.
So oh, that's a policy question.
But I think it's really a question. He does have appeal. There's no doubt about it. But tonight's speech, he's not just speaking to that 52% who voted for him.
Right.
He needs to. He will use the term "the will of the people" tonight. He used it in his inauguration address. Not quite sure he's using it correctly, because he says we've got to provide government services based on what the will of the people is. The electorate selected him and this legislature, although the public really didn't have as much choice in this legislature. His real challenge tonight is, how is he going to appeal to the rest of Wisconsin? Okay. And how is he going to appeal to this notion that you unify this state? Everybody knows we're deeply polarized. And I think that that's going to be his challenge as an individual. But let's face it, he's got a record. Bold doesn't necessarily mean good, but he's got a record of accomplishments that he could parlay. But his goal tonight is, I think, really unify people.
I'm going to come back to something you said, Dale. Why is it that people, you've worked with dozens of elected officials, both of you have, and governors, why has Scott Walker been underrated by so many of them, sir?
Well, I think he's clearly not comfortable with his colleagues, and he has surrounded himself with a very tight-knit group of people, and they don't take a lot of input. People tend to look at that and say he's just not comfortable working on a larger team or with a larger team. And I think that's easy to be dismissive of him and to not recognize how disciplined they are in going after the things that they feel are important.
But he must have very, very good instincts, gentlemen. You've seen a lot, you've worked with a lot of elected officials. He must have very good political instincts to have come this far at 47 years old. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a number of things that have occurred in this country that have changed the political process or changed the political landscape. Certainly, the campaign finance law decisions of the Supreme Court, the yes. McCutcheon decision, and the other decisions have made it easier to get larger sums of money. Certainly, I think that the happenstance of having a wave election, which I don't think he claimed credit for, but certainly benefited from and probably even maybe enhanced, put him in a situation with reapportionment that few people expected. And I think you have to look deeper than just one person. But there's just no doubt about it.
He's a success story.
He is a success story. And if you define holding office and holding on to office as a success. But I think Bob's point is a little larger, and that is, how will history record you and your actions and what you did for the state? I think to be president of the United States, you have to be able to do more than bust a union.
Well, Bob, your thoughts on why he's
well,
come so far so quickly?
Timing has been good for Scott Walker.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it. He was able to leave the state legislature and become a county exec because he won a recall.
Yeah.
Number two, he rhetorically he's a master of political rhetoric, and to some degree one would argue deception, because he is able to use a generic speech to either distract people from what the real issues are, blame somebody else for his problems. But he is, his other luck, to tell you the truth, is he ran for governor in a time in which the economy was just in the tank through no one's fault in Wisconsin. And clearly that was a factor that led him and other Republicans to win the election.
But some of us veteran reporters in the press room say, we have rarely covered somebody who stays on message as effectively as Scott K. Walker.
I agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. The discipline is unbelievable. Yeah. But what is really exciting about tonight, and something I think all of us can agree on, and I'm sure many of the listeners and viewers can appreciate, is that this is an exciting time for not only Scott Walker, but for the state of Wisconsin. I was really excited during the last presidential election, seeing Paul Ryan there. Of course, he's announced he's not going to be on the ticket, but there are a lot of stories out there about Governor Walker. Now, I have to tell you quite candidly that if were a Democrat being talked about, I would be just as excited. Because as somebody who loves politics, who's been involved in it for 49 years, I'm a little bit of a junkie, and it's nice to see Wisconsin in the mix. And we'll have plenty of time to argue about the specific policies, some of which Bob and I will agree on, and some of which we won't.
Well, I covered a press conference today with Speaker Voss, and he was asked about the potential presidential run by Scott Walker, and he said he finds it exciting. Because it focuses a lot of attention on Wisconsin and some of the good things that we have done. So that's the...
Well, I think it's some of the good things that are going. There clearly is a time to debate whether the bold reforms, are good for Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I think that that's not the point tonight. It is when he introduces his budget, then one begins to analyze.
Okay. Two final questions for both of you, since this is a preview. The number one thing you're going to be looking for in the State of the State message. Bob, you want to go first?
A genuine attempt to reach out to respect the diversification of ideas in the state of Wisconsin and a pathway to make sure that citizens really can believe that there is going to be a different approach to governing than we have experienced in the last 4 years.
So you're looking for a tonal shift.
And some specific examples. Recall 4 years ago, he held a picnic at the residence and called it a summit. I think you need more than just generic rhetoric.
Okay, Dale?
Well, I think what I'm going to be looking for is his ability to inspire both sides of the aisle. And the measure for me is going to be watching that floor. Will the Democrats feel comfortable enough to stand up and applaud and celebrate our state, or are they going to feel like they're excluded? And it's really the governor's chore to invite them. My father told me a long time ago, Dale, it's important to be a good loser, but it's even more important to be a good winner. And will the governor be a good winner? Will he reach out and inspire those Democrats to feel like they're a part of the future for our great state?
Okay, and I'm going to end it this way. I want a prediction from each of you. We're going to have a contest. Number of Packer references in the State of the State speech. Dale?
3.
Bob?
Yeah, I'd say 2 or 3.
7. Okay, that's our preview. Former Senator Bob Jott, former Senator Dale Schultz, thank you very much for previewing, and we'll watch the speech and come back. And so interested in the impressions of you and other legislators who we hope will drop in. Thank you.
Look forward to it.
Forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.